reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. We always look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. Let me remind you, and you've heard it before, but as a reminder, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I like to call it the truth book. The truth book. When Jesus speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you shall are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, the Bible declares, "Thy word is truth." Psalm 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." Now, ladies and gentlemen, when we wake up on mornings like today, and we look back in just the past several hours in retrospect, and see what's taken place in our nation, and how once again, I call it a failure of the Secret Service, our president was in jeopardy of assassination. When we look back over just the past few days, we see in our nation where a federal grand jury indicted the Southern Poverty Law Center out of Alabama that since 1971 has promulgated racism, intolerance in the political arena, and blackmailing Christian organizations to pay extortion fees so they will not be openly blamed for racism or something of that nature. We're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, the Marxist hate group called Southern Poverty Law Center. We're going to talk about today the attempted assassination on President Trump. What happened? What went wrong? How did it take place? Why is it that after each assassination attempt, there's the mindset, the mantra from the, how would you say, the powerful voices in D.C., we're going to investigate it. This one would ever happen again. And it happens over and over and over again. What is it that's not understood? What is it that's the key component that's causing these assassination attempts? How should we as Christians view what is taking place? The Bible says in Proverbs 29:2, "When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful for the divine intervention of God in placing Donald J. Trump in the Oval Office as the 47th president. And he's done all he can through executive order and an individual trying to make things right in America. But we have a socialist Marxist media that's out to destroy the Trump administration. We have a Communist Democratic Party that's out to destroy our constitutional republic, and they have the Trump derangement syndrome so bad they'd rather see America fail and be destroyed if it takes Trump with them. That's how much hatred they have for our process today called the Constitutional Republic. That's how much hatred they, the Democratic Party, has for Donald J. Trump. Willing to sacrifice our nation, ladies and gentlemen, in order to, in some way, undermine President Trump and what President Trump is doing and attempting to do in our great nation. I'm concerned about that. And as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, I pray that you are. And the purpose today in the issue and the discussion is not to frighten. It's not to diminish Trump's administration. It's not to diminish what is taking place, how and why. But it is to bring in absolute clear focus on the cause. What is the cause of this? The Bible is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen. It says in the last days, be just as in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? The Bible says in Genesis 6:5, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination and every thought of the heart was only evil continually. Now, I think that perfectly identifies our nation today and the scenario that we see even in the world. So, ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, facing the issues, we do so realizing there are those that are not concerned about the truth of the issue, but simply promulgating a lie for their benefit. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's precisely what we see taking place today. Chuck Schumer, Hakeem Jeffries, Nancy Pelosi, and others, ladies and gentlemen, have spawned, promoted, and promulgated what we've just witnessed in another attempt to assassinate President Trump. Now, you can place the blame anywhere you like. There's an attempt to, even now by the media, to say that it's guns. We need more gun control. We need to do something about people with guns. Listen, let me just very carefully insert this at the outset. Here's a 31-year-old man. Got on a train in California, across the nation traveling with weapons in his bags. I didn't know until recently with this event that on train travel, your bags are not checked for weapons. So he traveled across the nation with weapons, having sent over a 1,000-word manifesto to his friends, his family, and his students, apologizing for what he's about to do. He had a brother or a sister that had already called law enforcement in the Northeast warning them of his intent because they'd gotten the notice prior to his arriving in D.C. And ladies and gentlemen, it is a matter of understanding the truth. And yet we have Chuck Schumer and others that's now trying to blame it on guns, wanted to twist and pervert the rationale and reason. In fact, the media wanted to falsely identify the man. One media outlet said it was a dark-skinned white man that carried out the shooting. See how perverted that is? Trying to deflect the reality of what is taking place? Ladies and gentlemen, the tonation of the skin makes no difference. It's the heart, the mind. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? And we're witnessing those deceitfully wicked hearts being prompted, promulgated, pushed, and prodded to carry out attempts to destroy our Constitutional Republic and our president. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saddened when I see results of a survey that was done now about a year ago that said most younger Americans say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In the article, it reads, 55% of Americans, 18 to 35-year-old age group, by the way, we call them the millennials, say that each person determines their own version of truth. How old was the shooter? 31 years old. Supposedly an educated man. Supposedly with all kinds of credentials. Supposedly a school teacher. Just, I believe it's in 2024, supposed to be the teacher of the year in his school district. But ladies and gentlemen, when the mind is filled with rot and demonic lies spawned by the Marxist media and the socialist Marxist communist left called the Democrats, We can't expect any different. You can put into force and put into place all kinds of gun control laws you want to, but it's not going to change the heart and the mind of the trigger puller. And that's what we see just that it's just taken place. The former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint says America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Here's in part a statement from DeMint. What we believe about truth does not change what is true. What we believe about reality does not change what is real. There's no greater example of arrogance and self-worship than to assume whatever we believe is true and real. Yet that is precisely the prevailing view in America today, even in our Christian churches. And a headline that says Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. And the article goes on to talk about the three bastions of deceit and lies in academia and in political arena and in the media. And those three areas today, ladies and gentlemen, I believe can be blamed or the facts placed on in those three areas that brings about today what is happening in the United States of America. The Bible says in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach, a dishonor, a shame, an insult to any people. And that's where we are today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. This portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find it? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Old Glory, 24-7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, about another minute, we'll open our telephone lines and invite you to call in. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What say you about the recent attempt on the life of President Trump? What promulgated it? Who can we point the finger at? Who's blamed? What's the end result? What will happen? Will it continue like this? In your opinion, is there a fix to the problem? And what is that fix? That telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go with the question to comment, please.
Yes, sir, Dr. Youngblood. It's a spiritual war, number one, I believe. And the security around the president was not good. And the Democrats, I don't call them Democrats, the Democrats, they know that they want him out of the way. That's why they don't want to vote for the Homeland Security, and also that they're talking about, well, if ICE is out of the way, ICE is there to get their illegals out, and I pray that I call them crazy judges, will support him in saying that if you're born in America and you're illegal, your child is not an American.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, Kenneth, I'll touch on this briefly, and Lord willing, I'll touch on it one day this week. It is the 14th Amendment. Does that allow illegals to come across the border have a baby, get citizenship for that baby, and then on chain immigration, that baby's citizenship will be allowed to bring in moms, dads, aunts, uncles, brothers, and sisters from around the world and allow them to be in our nation, sponging off what the nation provides for our citizens out of the taxpayers' till. I think it is wrong. I think there's a problem with that. But yet we have the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats that are not wanting to pass the SAVE Act so that we'll have somebody in charge of saying you don't qualify to vote, so therefore you can't vote. They want open elections. They want open borders. They want open boundaries. They want anything that will give more votes to, in perpetuity, put the socialist, Marxist, communist Democrats in charge of our nation. Let me touch on this, Kenneth, and I'll let you go. If we lose this election in November, the midterm, if the Republicans lose it, if the conservatives lose it, if the Democrats go into the House and Senate to control it, our nation is irreparably harmed, and I say that we will never get back to a constitutional republic. There'll always be the uniparty run by the socialist, Marxist, communist Democratic Party. The constitutional republic as we know it will end November 2026 if the Christians that are listening today, Christians across America, if we do not vote in large numbers to prevent the Marxist Democrats from getting in control, we will lose our sovereignty as a nation. I don't know how you can make it any clearer than that. I don't know how you can make it any plainer than that. We have too many things mitigating against freedom and freedom of religion, constitutional liberties, the Bill of Rights that we have, etc. Too many things mitigating against that if we lose this midterm election. And that's the whole focus right now with the Democrats, is to do anything possible to stir up the pot as much as possible to destroy the minds and the hearts of those that will look at Trump as being a bad guy, a Hitler, etc., etc. That's the problem. That's what we're faced with. It is a spiritual problem. It is a demonic warfare that we're faced with. And I believe Christians need to wake up, smell the coffee, and understand where we're headed if we as Christians do not stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen, be victorious in the end, allowing God through the Holy Spirit to direct us as to what we do. Kenneth, it deserves our prayer, deserves our attention, that we need to keep on looking up and realize our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you so much for calling. I believe Nick is on the line. Nick, go with the question. A comment, please.
Yes, sir. I just have a comment about the shooting again against Trump. My thing is, back in the day, I remember even when a Democrat won the election, because I voted Republican, obviously. I'm a Christian. I believe that they stand for more of my values. But back in the day, there was a mutual respect of, hey, this is our president. Even though I didn't agree with him, I still prayed for him. I wanted him to succeed. And now, because that there's so much pollution in this world that they can't understand, they can't allow a president that they didn't vote for to survive, to win. I mean, there's so many shootings. There's so many people trying to kill this president because they just don't agree with him. Back in the day, you could disagree and still show love and still show what you believed in. And now, because people are standing up for what they believe in, like Trump, they want to kill him. It's just crazy to me that you know, people are like that now. And it, like you said before, if we don't make a stand as Christians, we will lose this election. And it's going to be scary, but at the same time, God's in control, and, you know, but I believe that God will put whoever he wants in office, but I do think we need to make a stand and vote, like you said.
Absolutely. Nick, you're exactly right. Let me do a little parenthetical footnote of what you just said. I know 8 years with the illegal president called Barack Hussein Obama. There was never a time that I had any thought, any mindset that we need to promulgate, push, and advertise that somebody needs to kill him, assassinate him, because he's a bad guy. During the 8 years of Sleepy Joe Biden, I mean 4 years of Sleepy Joe Biden and the auto pen, there was never a time that I know of any Christian that promulgated and pushed and advertised and promoted that he is so hated that he needs to be eviscerated, right, annihilated, and assassinated in some fashion. Just as you've said, as Christians, it's our responsibility to pray for those that are in leadership over us, according to the Timothy text. We need to do that. And by the way, my honest prayer during the Biden administration and the Obama administration, the Bible says we need to pray for those that rule over us. And I said, Lord, I pray for them. If they don't get saved, remove them, put somebody in office. They'll protect our liberties and our constitutional rights. That was my prayer. But I've never seen a time, as we're seeing today, where there's so much visceral hatred, animus in the hearts and the minds of the left, that they have promoted anything to remove Donald J. Trump. In fact, just last Thursday, one of the major leaders in the Democratic House that was the leader in promoting the attempt to impeach President Trump on the second occasion, twice they tried it, and he's saying now that the Democrats, quote, I'm quoting him, we as Democrats are now preparing, as we take control of the House and the Senate in November, we're preparing now to impeach Donald J. Trump once again. That's the goal. That's the animus.
Yep.
That's the hatred. And the only thing that quenches that, the only thing that can rule over that, is the power of God through the Holy Spirit that will work in the hearts and the lives of those. And I say, Lord, remove them before there is a murder of our president, which, in my opinion, will bring about nationwide civil war overnight. The worst thing that could happen. And I believe, as one of my sons said recently, Greg said, Dad, he said, the Democrats hate Trump so much they're willing to destroy America if they can rule over the ashes. And that's what I'm saying.
Yes, sir.
And it is so sad.
I agree.
So, Nick, thank you, brother, for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So, ladies and gentlemen, if we see in the Scripture that God's Word has already told us, God's Word has already pointed out to us very clearly of what this era would be like. We find it in the expository messages in the Word of God. We find it in the prophetic Word where, let me read again for you, Genesis 6:5, God's Word says that we're going in Matthew prophetic text, the 24th chapter, says that the last day is going to be like it was in the days of Noah. How was it in the days of Noah? Genesis 6:5 says, and God saw that the wickedness, twisted, perverted sin, evilness of man was so great in the earth, and that every imagination and every thought of the heart was only evil continually. So it was a constant continuum of sin and wickedness and evil being promulgated in the earth in that day. And God's Word says that's what we would have today. And if we look around us, we see that's precisely what is taking place. And then in Matthew 24:12, the Bible says, and because iniquity can be translated as twisted, perverted sin or lawlessness. So let's do this. Matthew 24:12, and because twisted, perverted sin and lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We find that today, ladies and gentlemen. And may I say to you, that is the central biblicist worldview. And as I've said so many times down through the years on this broadcast, that everything that happens, we need to view it through the prism of the Word of God. The prism, the viewpoint. What does God's Word tell us? God's Word tells us that what we see happening is what God has already said will take place in the world in the last days. And we are in the last of the last days. I look forward to every morning saying, perhaps today, because the rapture, the sudden seizure, the global disappearance of Christians could take place at any moment. There's not another sign that should take place before the rapture. There's not another event that God's Word gives us prophetically that'll take place before the rapture of the church. It could happen at any moment. We need to be prepared as Christians. We need to be ready, and we need to recognize that these are the last days. Now, should we toss in the towel and say, well, it's going to be hopeless, it's going to be helpless, God is in control, there's nothing we can do? Absolutely not. God calls on Christians to be salt and light in a darkening, decaying society. And that's what we ought to do. We need to be the watchman on the wall, as salt and light, warning, danger ahead. But there's several questions, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe we must ask about the attempted assassination on President Trump. the event was a White House National Press Club dinner. President Trump had talked about on his way over to the dinner. He was talking with someone, I've forgotten who it was, according to the article that I read, and he was talking about the speech that he had prepared and some of the things that he was planning on saying, and it's looking to be a gala event, and President Trump was looking to be able to communicate with the press corps that's there, the press people, the media, and in fact, some of the media people had already criticized the fact that Trump was even invited. They criticized Trump that he'd even decided to come because they said, here we are, that Trump wants to destroy us. Trump wants to put us out of the press corps. Trump wants to prevent our passing the news out as we want to do so. And here he is. We've got to tolerate him. We've got to listen to him, etc. There was the promulgation of anger and hostility behind the scenes, even with the press corps that was putting on conference or the dinner that they've had. And by the way, the hotel where this took place, the Hilton, right in downtown D.C., is the place where in front of that hotel, and I believe it was in the early 80s, 81, 82, 83, I've got the exact date, Ronald Reagan, there was an attempted assassination. It injured him, did not kill him. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the same place. This, in my mind, promulgates, pushes, and presses the thought that there's that need for the White House ballroom that President Trump has been wanting to do. About $300 million out of donated money, not a dime of tax money, a ballroom where there could be safety and security, and not worried about the ineptness, hear me, not worried about ineptness and or political ineptness with the Secret Service that prevents the proper security for our president. We ought to talk about that, and I pray that you will join in the dialogue and discussion. Telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What say you? Do you believe that the Secret Service properly set up the standard, that they had a proper standard of, how would you say, protecting the perimeter? What about a hotel where guests are checking in, checking out, and yet the president and the entire leadership team of America, political leadership team for America, in that building with the Secret Service supposedly protecting them? Were they doing their job? Was it done appropriately? Is it another, Butler, Pennsylvania? Oops, we made an error. Was it another Mar-a-Lago golf course where, oops, we didn't see that shooter until it was almost too late? What is it that's taking place that allows this to happen? May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, we must seek answers, and I believe the answers must come from outside the Secret Service. Listen, just my own personal parenthetical footnote thrown in here. If I were President Trump, I would go outside the Secret Service and put together a security team that is hired by President Trump, paid for by taxpayers, vetted by Trump, vetted by Trump's team, that's loyal to Trump, that is willing to serve and surrender their lives if necessary to protect the President of the United States of America. That's what I'd do. I would simply stop trying to use a team of supposed security people, Secret Service, that for the most part, I believe, would vote for Joe Biden, Barack Obama, or Hillary Clinton, and not for President Trump. So how is it that we can expect the supercharged Secret Service to have the mindset that we're here to protect the president, even if it costs us our lives? Now I want to ask you several questions to set the stage for the balance of the broadcast. Why did this happen? Who motivated the 31-year-old California school teacher to get on a train, travel across America, and check into a hotel the day before with his weapons and then try to assassinate the president? Who motivated him? What motivated him? Why did this take place? Could it have been changed? Could it have been stopped? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we need to examine these questions. Why did the Secret Service agents fail to properly vet the building and those in it? Now you say, well, added people, just regular citizens, checking in and checking out. Listen, there ought to have been a perimeter set up, and people need to have been vetted so that his life would have been protected. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. Be right back, right after the news.
Tina Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu. WTI.